Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's been over a month since the Women's March, and it seems like almost everyone these days is weighing in on feminism. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway yesterday at CPAC stated why she doesn't see herself as a feminist in the classic sense of the word.
It's difficult for me to call myself a feminist in the classic sense because it seems to be very anti-male, and it certainly is very pro-abortion in this context. And I'm neither anti-male or pro-abortion. So there's an individual feminism, if you will, that you make your own choices. Mercedes, I look at myself as a product of my choices, not a victim of my circumstances. And that's really, to me, what conservative feminism, if you will, is all about.
And here she is a minute later explaining her big issue with the movement.
I mean, one thing that's been a little bit disappointing and revealing is that I hope will get better is turns out there are a lot of women who just have a problem with women in power. You know, this whole sisterhood, this whole let's go march for women's rights and, you know, just constantly talking about what women look like or what they wear or making fun of their choices or presuming that they're not as powerful as the men around. This presumptive negativity about women and power, I think, is very unfortunate because let's just try to access that and have a conversation about it rather than a confrontation about it.
Kellyanne Conway at CPAC yesterday. Joining me now is Jessica Crispin, founder and editor of the literary blog Book Slut. She might disagree with Conway, but maybe not for the reasons that you might think. In fact, Jessica disowned feminism because somewhere along the path toward female liberation, she says people forgot that for something to be universally accepted, it must become as banal, as non-threatening, and ineffective as possible. And so Jessa is not a feminist, and it's all in her latest book, Why I Am Not a Feminist, A Feminist Manifesto. And she joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
You want to talk about the basic contradiction in the title, Why I Am Not a Feminist, A Feminist Manifesto?
Well, I guess Kellyanne Conway is one contributor to that in particular, but simply that the word has become so co-opted and manipulated by outside forces, including right-wing women and pro-lifers, but also kind of self-help feminism and Beyoncé feminism, that it doesn't the word doesn't have any meaning anymore.
What's Beyoncé feminism?
Oh, this very focused on self-empowerment, this succeeding as a capitalist, this very sort of money and power-driven version of feminism.
I'll get back to that later. But what's your definition of a positive feminism that you embrace?
To me, feminism is simply the philosophy or the ideology that every human being on this planet possesses as much value as anybody else, and that in order to express that and in order to have a world that allows for that, we have to remove these hierarchies of power.
You write that feminism used to be fringe culture. Does it need to still be fringe culture in order to be pure? Is that part of what you're arguing?
I would never argue for purity because I believe that dissent is healthy and productive. But in the past, women's culture, mainstream women's culture, has always been the enemy of feminism as far as trying to get in the way of what feminists were trying to do, whether that be mainstream women's culture during the first wave when women wanted the right to vote, or mainstream women's culture during the second wave. But then they always resisted the word. They hated the word, and so they wouldn't associate themselves with it. Now the mainstream women's culture is embracing the word and using it. So even though they're not feminist in ideology, they're feminist in name, and it just makes it much more confusing.
Listeners, who wants to call up and talk to Jessa Crispin, author of Why I Am Not a Feminist, A Feminist Manifesto? Is this sounding like something you've been thinking but maybe haven't had the words to say it quite so clearly? Or what would you like to add to this conversation about your own thinking or ask Jessa Crispin? 212-433-WNYC, 833-9692. You write, this is the part of the problem of creating a unified front for feminism. The median feminist is generally going to be a middle-class, educated white woman. Her desires and needs cannot stand in for the needs of all women. Talk more about that. Is that to say that feminism, there need to be multiple feminisms in order for it to meet the needs of all women?
There is a unified goal when it comes to feminism, and that is the removal of hierarchies. But each person within feminism, based on their own situation of class, race, religion, whatever, is going to have different needs. And those needs need to be understood and addressed. And we can't just fight for the things that make middle-class white women's lives better, because that's what we have been doing. And it leaves a lot of women in states of vulnerability.
So you don't like that we've gone from kind of Gloria Steinem feminism to third wave Sheryl Sandberg lean in and Lena Dunham do what I want feminism?
Well, I think Gloria Steinem is the source of a lot of the problems, like her being heralded as a feminist hero when she was always very mainstream culture. I'm thinking more of Andrea Dworkin or Firestone or any of the more radical thinkers of the second wave.
Do you think that feminism has almost been misappropriated by outspoken celebrities on the issue, like Taylor Swift and Lena Dunham, to use two recent examples?
Yes, absolutely. Feminism has become a marketing tool. Taylor Swift uses the word feminism in order to sell records. There's nothing about her that screams feminist advocate. She's a capitalist. She wants to make money. At the moment, you can get women to buy your product if you say this is empowering or if you say this is feminist.
In the book, you cite Bjork as someone who hasn't been outspoken about feminism, and many feminists have a problem with that, but you don't.
No, I think that as long as you live out a life where you are supportive of other women, as long as you're making moral choices, whether or not you label yourself as something very specific, it has no relevance. And people do get confused with somebody who calls themselves a feminist but does not act in any way as a feminist is somehow more of a role model than someone who leads a life of moral integrity but refuses to use the word for individual reasons.
What do you mean by act like a feminist? What kind of a lifestyle would be acting like a feminist?
Well, there are a lot of ways to behave as a feminist, but generally supporting women, supporting human rights and equality, supporting structural societal changes that will not just improve the lives of women, but improve the lives of everybody who's oppressed by those systems, including the gay communities and racial minorities. It's not just about self-advancement, which is what it has been misunderstood as for a very long time.
Let me ask you your take on something else in the news then, because as I'm sure you heard, the Trump administration scaled back Title IX guidelines that let transgender students use the bathrooms of their choice. And Caitlyn Jenner, among many other people, publicly spoke out saying that Trump's order is a disaster and Title IX deals with sex discrimination. So I'm curious about where you see these things on the spectrum of feminism, Title IX being a particular sex discrimination statute.
Issues that deal with trans issues, gay issues, Black Lives Matter movement, all of these are our peers, and these are people that are suffering from the same system that we are. And so I do think that there's a tendency in the feminist movement to distance themselves or not participate in these other movements because they don't directly relate to us. But I think that's a mistake. We have to align ourselves together based on our shared value systems and goals.
Beth in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Jessa Crispin. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I'm listening with interest and with a little bit of anxiety because I grew up in the 70s. I grew up with feminism growing and happening and abortion rights being granted. I see feminism as a human rights issue, and I proudly wear the term of feminist. It's about Title IX. It's about the right of rape victims. It's about the right of having a fair trial with domestic violence, property rights, equal pay. I don't get paid the same as I teach in a private institution, and I would probably get paid more if I were a male. I experience sexism on a daily basis, and I feel that if you diminish what feminism is by talking about its capitalistic nature and other things, it just erodes the ideas that were put forward in the 70s that really helped propel women into a better place, which ultimately creates a better society.
Well, I think that one of the insights of second wave feminism is that this idea of patriarchy is completely intertwined with the idea of capitalism, and that in order to attack one, you have to remove the other. That there is no dealing of this system without dealing with economic justice, that's a key part of feminism. And all of the issues that you mentioned are still incredibly vitally important, and yet a lot of them have been sidelined by contemporary feminism for the sake of discussing things like media representation and this idea of self-empowerment and individual achievement rather than any kind of solidarity. So I don't disagree with your goals. I just don't feel like the current feminist movement is serving those goals.
Well, I feel like the current feminist movement is what you're referring to as a real academic part of the feminist movement and not really what's happening, let's say, on the ground in schools. I teach middle school. I think girls have an incredibly difficult time right now trying to be the best at everything, trying to be quote unquote sexy, trying to have a career, have a family, have everything. And they're impossible goals. I'm not so sure you're helping with what you're writing. I think you want to help. I get that. But I think undermining the idea of feminism and making it a hard thing for a young girl to wear and say, I'm a feminist because I believe in equal rights for women, and to nuance it so much just erodes it again. It degrades it.
Beth, thank you. One more reply to her.
Only that I feel like this is a constant criticism of within feminism, that you're not allowed to attack or criticize or question the way that the movement is going, that you have to present a unified front. But that has not achieved what we've wanted it to achieve.
Dana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dana.
Hi. I was just, I always think about the second wave feminism and how Gloria Steinem was kind of the pioneer of that very much, and how she was not a mother. And I'm wondering if you're a mother and, you know, how I think until you become a mother, you can't really understand what these issues are and how much motherhood may, you know, for instance, get in the way of you being someone like Gloria Steinem and traveling around the country and being a pioneer for anything. And it kind of, you know, makes me think of someone like Sheryl Sandberg, Lean In, and, you know, what leaning in, you know, what you need to back you up in order to lean in.
In a positive, what you need, you mean if you are raising children? What you need to back you up in the workplace.
I think it's hard to be this. You talk about Beyonce, and you know, obviously she has all this money and power. But for the average woman who maybe doesn't have the supportive husband, say, or you know, or the money behind her, what does feminism mean when you know you're all alone trying to raise a family?
Mm-hmm. Well, feminism is also, or has been, the fight for subsidized childcare and the removal of these entitlements that come with marriage, so that it's not just married women who have these protections. I'm not a mother, but I do find it a little bit insulting that you think that I don't understand something just because I haven't given birth. But it is, it's not just a fight for equality. It's a fight for a better world. It's not just for more women participating in these systems of oppression. It's removal of the systems of oppression.
Anne in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm 75, and I was raised to be somebody's wife. And I never, ever thought I would have a career. My brothers were raised to support their families, etc. So when the time came to have a career, I had to do everything, go out and work and come home and take care of the kids and do the laundry and cook, because the men didn't know how to do these things. They were not raised that way. And they still, men of my age, many of them retain, because they didn't have to change any. A lot of them went out and supported their families as they were expected to and had wives that didn't work. So now I see a tremendous, it's not, now we have women who say, I'm not going to clean the house because that's women's work. I'm not going to wash the dishes. I'm not going to take care of the children. I'm going to go out and work, which leaves us with a place with dirty houses and children that have other people taking care of them, and nobody's doing the work. And now I see my son and his kids, and my son does everything with his kids. It's got to be a partnership. The men have finally begun to really change and help. You can't be a professional and take care of kids and all of that sort of thing. You've got to work in a partnership. And I'm so encouraged by what I see in the next generations coming up, including my grandchildren, who are much more egalitarian than I was raised.
And thank you very much. We're almost out of time, but are you encouraged in that same way? I think one, you know, narrative over the decades has been that feminism changed women a lot more quickly than it changed men. And until men change, then really there isn't going to be equality because men aren't going to do what was considered women's work, as Anne was describing.
Yeah, and that's certainly, I'm in my late 30s, and women my age are in this kind of in-between spot where we were raised with feminist notions ourselves, but our men that we would like to create husbands with or friends or peers, they don't have the same kind of understanding of the way society is against women. And so it's frustrating on a lot of different levels of trying to negotiate that with them.
Last thing, and I'm going to go back to another popular culture reference, because our next guest is going to be the author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, who was sampled in a Beyoncé song, Flawless. And Adichie argues that we teach young girls to aspire to marriage and we don't teach young boys the same thing, and that feminists believe in social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. And I'm just curious to know if you're familiar with particular pop culture references of Chimamanda and Beyoncé sampling Chimamanda.
Yeah, of course. And it is a very interesting idea because it does seem like the next step is men developing these sides of caring and loving and compassion that have been the kind of burdens of women for so long. And so I think she's absolutely right.
Well, we leave it there with Jessa Crispin, who's the founder and editor of the literary blog Book Slut and now author of the book Why I Am Not a Feminist, A Feminist Manifesto. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yes, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie next.